Open your Bibles for starters to Proverbs 27. The main text this morning is from Proverbs 27, a verse that's been an encouragement to me a lot in the last few months. Hopefully this will be an encouragement to you and a blessing. I thought Pastor might have been here this morning. Maybe he's just going to come later, maybe. I don't know. I thought he might have been here, but pray for him. If surgery went well, he said, and he just needs prayer for healing and rest. He said he might be off his feet for a couple of weeks. Proverbs 27. I'm going to read verse 17. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Let's pray. Lord, I do thank you for this church. Thank you for the people here, and we're grateful to have a place to come, and just ask you to bless the study here this morning and be with, was already prayed for, all the other preachers and Sunday school teachers, and we love you, Lord. We do pray you come back soon and heal up Pastor as quickly as possible, and we thank you for him, and we just ask now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This verse, iron sharpeneth iron, has really been on my mind for the last several months. And a lot of the reason is because we've had so many new guys coming out doing the Saturday ministries and joining and trying things for the first time. And I think of that verse because basically what you're doing is you're sharpening each other by working together. You can't sharpen yourself. You can't sharpen someone else if you're not working together. And that verse can work both ways. You can think about yourself, how someone else has been a blessing to you, and we tend to think of that more often than we do the other way. The other way that I'm talking about here today is that you need to be a blessing to someone else. And I used to be a John F. Kennedy fan way back in the day, but he said something pretty profound one time when he did his inaugural address in 1961, he said, "Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country." You can switch that around and you can say, "Ask not what the brethren can do for you, but what can you do for the brethren?" That's the focus this morning. I'd like you to just think on that. And it's about you sharpening someone else and ministering to others. And I wanted to share this with you. I almost forgot, but how I discovered Sunday school. I'm thankful that I get an opportunity here this morning to share this with you. But when I first started coming to church here, I came at about 10:55 because I didn't know what was going on in here beforehand, and I would stay in the foyer out there waiting. And thankfully, somebody came up to me one day about a month or two later and said, "Jeff, why don't you go to Sunday school?" And I was like, "That's what that is?" I had no idea. I grew up as a Catholic. One and done. You're gone. And I had no idea. I thought I was interrupting. I didn't want to walk in and interrupt. And after that, I've been coming ever since. Praise the Lord. And the thing about that is that person had the boldness to ask that question, because when somebody first starts coming to church, you may have experienced this. You want them to be here more, but you don't know how they're going to respond if you ask them to come to more church. So I'm glad that that person did that for me, and I'm very thankful for that, because you never know how someone's going to respond to that. Something else to mention here, Christianity, it's a lot more than just getting saved. It's not one of those, "I'm saved, I'm going to stay right here, I'm going to sit back and watch." That's not what Christianity is about. Christianity is about ministering and doing something more for the Lord. James 1:22 says, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only." You need to be a doer. In these last days, in 2 Timothy 3, Paul writes, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." And then he goes on, if you read 2 Timothy 3, he goes on and lists a whole bunch of horrible things. And all those horrible things aren't just to the lost world. Christians are capable of committing all of those things on that list. And something that can help you out is this verse, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." I looked at that verse a lot, and It says there at the end, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 2:5, the man Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ was fully God and fully human at the same time. And you can look at that, and Jesus Christ is sharpening the countenance of his friend. You were his enemy, now you became his friend when you got saved. So he's sharpening you as well. Question you ask yourself today is, are you doing any sharpening? Are you trying to help the brethren? Are you trying to be a blessing to others? Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. The first thing I'd like to point out here is turn over to Psalm 10. Turn back a little bit to Psalm chapter 10. Sooner or later, my legs are going to stop shaking. Psalm 10, verse 17. One thing you need to do is you need to prepare your heart to be sharpened. Someone else might come up to you and you may not even realize it, but they're trying to help you. The Bible says here in verse 17 in Psalm 10, Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear. The Lord can prepare your heart, but you need to be humble about it. And you need to have the preparations of the heart. You need to be ready to receive instruction. You need to be ready at all times. And if your heart's not ready, you're not going to respond very well. You want to prepare your heart. And by drawing closer to God, it can make those distractions in your life go away. If you're ready and you need to basically clean house at some point in your Christian life, you need to clean house. And that's not something that just happens one day or one month of your life. It's an ongoing process. You need to continue to clean house. You need to continue to get things right with the Lord. We do that when we have communion. We always come to church when we have communion and we just get things right before we fellowship together with the communion. But you need to draw close to God and think about what distracts you. I still have distractions. I can't say I used to and I'm all good. We always have a distraction in our life. My own conviction on some of the distractions that I used to have, and I don't know how you perceive video games, but I know how much a video game can consume your time. And an example, I don't know if I was saved yet. My brother brought over PlayStation one night to my townhome, and he was going to show me this really fun video game. It was a clean game, but we start playing it, and they have levels. And you accomplish one level and you go to the next. Let's do another one. And you just, let's do another one. It's like eating candy. You just want another one. You want another one. You can't just have one potato chip. The next thing you know, he came over at 9 o'clock. Next thing you know, it's 2 in the morning. And you're wondering, what happened? Now I'm going to have to sleep in until 10 or 11 o'clock to get a right amount of sleep. You just wasted your next day as well. That will consume your time. I know some people may play video games, but you got to get control of that because it can consume your time. If I had spent my time instead, I played way back Atari and Nintendo and all that fun stuff, but I wasted a lot of time playing video games. I could have learned so many instruments or even another language if I'd have spent my time on something else instead of wasting my time with that. Sure, it was harmless, but it takes your time away. The Bible says we're supposed to redeem our time, and by, you know, playing a lot of video games doesn't redeem your time. You can relax laying down on the couch and taking a nap. Those are so much more fun anyways. You wake up refreshed. You're not refreshed from a video game. Your fingers are sore. Blisters. Anybody have any blisters? So ask yourself what distracts you. I mean, everybody has their own convictions. And you have to deal with that. You have to get rid of those distractions. Something else that I got rid of out of my old life is recently, I'll get to it more later, but 5 of us had gone down to the St. Paul Saints game and did some street preaching. I'm very familiar with how that baseball team operates. They're a little different now because they got a new stadium. But I used to, when their old stadium, when it was over by the state fair, I had season tickets. I had 4 tickets to every game, and they had 50 home games. And one year I actually went to 54 games. How did you do that? Well, I went to some road games. You can spend a lot of time doing stuff like that, but I got to the point where I needed to cancel those tickets. And part of the reason was that they started celebrating an atheist night every year. Some of you may remember we went down and street preached for that, and that was a huge blessing to me. We had 20 people that went down there and just preached. The strange thing about that is the police said, you can't pass out those tracts because you're soliciting. And I'm like, well, how about street preaching? Oh, yeah, you can do that. Preach away, guys. I mean, just go for it. I couldn't believe it. I was like, okay, we'll just give them to it by verbal. We'll speak to them, right? That turned out to be really good. Television was a huge part of my life when I grew up. I pretty much slept with the thing. I grew up on television, and that takes up your time. It's a distraction, and you have to be careful with that. I know you might watch an Andy Griffith show or Leave It to Beaver once in a while, but you have to be careful with your time because it's a distraction, and it'll take you away from getting sharpened or sharpening somebody else. We need to redeem our time. And you prepare your heart, because if you don't, the Bible says in Proverbs 13, poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction. If you're not prepared to receive instruction, it'll prevent you from being sharpened. The first thing I mentioned here today was to prepare. And I want to share with you now what prevents you from being sharpened. The Bible, turn over to Proverbs 10. Go to Proverbs 10. I got a real blessing out of putting this together because it was a help, and hopefully this goes well. Hopefully it's a blessing. Amen. Proverbs 10, verse 17. Let me find the right spot. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. The Bible is very clear right there that if you refuse reproof and instruction, you're making an error. That's not what you should be doing. And he that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul. Sometimes you want to go out and help someone, maybe be in church more, maybe someone who's fell out of church, you want to try to reach out to them. It's okay to reach out to them, but if they're refusing, you don't want to hang out with them. If they're not going to be here, you can reach out to them and help them out and try to encourage them to come back to where you should be. They may not refuse. They may not respond to that very well. I'm sure we've all maybe have experienced that at some point. But that's a hard thing to do. There's some people that, I mean, a little example. My cousin Myron got saved last year, and he came to church a couple of times. And I tried to start a discipleship course with him that first night. He was just completely distracted. He wasn't interested. And some people aren't ready for that. I still pray for him. He's over in Wisconsin now, and he's saved. And I sent him a reminder late June that this is your first birthday, your first Christian birthday. And he just didn't want the instruction. He enjoyed it here for a couple of times, but some people just don't want it. And you have to use the best wisdom you can in order to encourage someone. You don't want to upset them. At the same time, you want them to be here. So you have to use a little balance there. And it's good to reach out to some people, but if they don't listen, you need to back off a little bit and pray for them. Your efforts and your desires for the brethren mean well, but if they refuse instruction and they don't care if they improve, then you need to back off and pray for them. Bible says in Proverbs 23, verse 12, apply thine heart unto instruction and thine ears to the words of knowledge. Instruction and sharpening can come when you're least expected. Let me show you this. Turn back to 1 Peter chapter 4. I'd like to share something with you that Renee was a huge blessing to me one morning. This came at a time when I was least expected, and I was getting ready to come out to visitation. This was a Saturday morning, and Renee couldn't make visitation. She was going to come to street preaching later. She had some things to get taken care of, but she shared with me a verse in the morning. I don't know if she meant it to help me, but it helped her and what she had read in her Bible that day, and then she had no idea how much it was going to help me. She sharpened me when I wasn't even expecting it. 1 Peter 4, I'm going to start reading in verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. I took verse 14 with me that day on door knocking. I happened to be by myself that particular day, and I ran into some difficult people. But that verse lifted me up because I was thinking, that's okay. Amen. Somebody else is getting glorified, my best friend in Jesus Christ. Even though I had to suffer for it. And then, later on in the day, I had something happen on street preaching on the corner. It never happened before. Basically, one guy on door knocking, I walk up to this guy, and you would not believe he had everything. He was inside his garage, buffing his garage floor with one of them janitor buffers. Never seen that before. This guy had everything. He had trophies lined up on the wall. I got halfway up his driveway, and the first thing out of his mouth is, whatever you're selling, I got three already. And I was like, well, sorry, sir, I'm not selling anything. And he says, well, I don't want religion either. And I was like, well, sorry to disappoint you, but I don't have religion either. And he said, well, go away. So I turned my back to him, and hopefully he read the back of my shirt. I had a verse on the back of my shirt that day. And you just walk away from that. And then I thought of the verse that Renee had shared with me that morning, and I was like, glory to God. That guy needed to have me come up his driveway that day, whether he received it or not. But that's a testimony against him. And then street preaching that day, this never happened before. I was on the street corner with Daniel and our wives, and we were completely blind to the guy on the electric bike coming by at about 30 miles an hour, but he whacked that street sign right out of my hand. I didn't know what to do. He didn't hit me, but he hit the sign and went flying. I just kind of kept on preaching, and Daniel went and picked up the sign, and I started preaching in his direction. But stuff like that, it's persecution. We have to just take it. That doesn't usually happen. I was shocked. I got a picture of the guy. Daniel took a video of him because he came back and he was checking us out. But your approach for the name of Christ, you're going to suffer some things. And suffering persecution together will really sharpen you. Turn over to John 15. Just a couple weeks ago, when some of us had gone down to the Saints game to do some street preaching, some of the guys experienced something that they had never experienced before yet. And it turned out to be a huge blessing. John 15, verse 18, it should be very familiar. If the world hate you, you know it hated me before it hated you. It also says later on in that chapter, in verse 20, in the middle of it, it says, if they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Randy, Josh, and Isaac were standing on the corner, and Todd and I were across the street, and this, we hadn't seen this in a long time, but some lady just went nuts. She was in Josh's face, and Josh, he didn't stop. He was holding up his Bible, and he was preaching at her, and he was preaching at her. And you got Brother Krause with the sign kind of blocking her. And it's one of those things that you don't see very often. It happens once in a while. Todd and I were kind of chuckling about it on the other side of the street. But Josh and Randy and Isaac did a fantastic job, I thought. They did a good job. They didn't get discouraged. The police officer even helped out. We had made friends with the police down there, and they told the lady, you got to get out of here. But those guys handled that really well. And what came of that? Street preaching together can sharpen you. It can sharpen you by putting you through something like that. And it doesn't always happen. There's different ways that you'll get persecuted. But if you're all working together, something good's going to come of it, because the Bible says in Acts 2:1, they were all in one accord in one place. They were all in one accord. Philippians 2 says, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. If you're working together, things will work out. You can't be clashing.
Right, right.
You can't be clashing in church.
Right.
We're here together.
Amen.
Take a look around. We're all going to be in heaven together. I know things will be different up there, but sure, we have issues down here. Sometimes we don't always get along with each other, but you need to work together. This needs to come together.
Amen.
You need to work together. And being in one accord. The old joke is there's an automobile mentioned in the Bible. They're all in one accord. The Honda. That's a pretty big Honda. But we're like-minded Bible believers, and there's a lot of other things that you can experience as a group that will sharpen you up. You work together, and Psalm 133, I've actually used Psalm 133 verse 1 to encourage someone to be in church. It is better to dwell together in unity. And you can use that for that, but to be in unity is just to be together and to get along, go out and serve the Lord together. And you can get that by working together. It makes you sharper. That saints experience, we all walked away from that with smiles. We really did. That's no exaggeration. We walked away from that. We were all pumped up. We thought that was amazing. That was interesting. And we're all still happy. We're all just loving it. We got some tracks out. As a matter of fact, while those three were dealing with that lady, Todd and I went over and put out about 10 or 20 tracks to people that were walking by wondering, what's going on here? And it was just, the Lord did that. The Lord took care of us down there. In a month from tomorrow, the state fair starts. There's a great opportunity to work together. And if you've never done that before, if you've never gone down there, look on the schedule, pick a day, and just plan for it. You need to make your priorities and to go down there and do that. If you experience that, it can change your life. It can open your eyes to something you've never seen before. Brother Turner, a couple years ago, when we were down there, he had never done it before. I don't want to embarrass you, brother, but you were a blessing. He had gone down to the state fair and tried it for the first time, and I sent him a text. I said, so how'd it go? Because I wasn't able to make the one that he went on. And he says, I'm addicted. And praise the Lord. By God's grace, he always joins us. You know, he loved it. He thought, that was pretty cool. I'm going to do that again. You can experience that and come away from it wanting to do more. Go down to the fair and put out some tracks. You don't have to necessarily talk to anybody. If somebody does talk to you, have an answer for them. They might be interested in what you're all about. And you can experience that. Another good thing is the blitzes we did last year. We had three of them. We all came to church. You didn't have to go into any confrontations. We put John Romans on doors. And we had a lot of people come out for those, roughly 40 to 50 people each time. And some people did that hadn't done it before, and they got a blessing out of it. Working together works. And a good illustration of a testimony that our church can be to other people. This happened recently. Renee and I were on the doorstep of a guy, and he comes out. He was happy. He wasn't confrontational. And I introduced ourselves, and he said, so what church are you guys from? Blessed Hope Baptist Church over in Coon Rapids. And he goes, oh, you guys are the best. I remember when you guys were down at the Super Bowl. What year is this? 2026? That was 8.5 years ago. This guy was affected by our testimony as a church ministering to all those people down on Nicollet Mall. He remembered. He professed salvation, and he goes to that Meadow Creek Church over on Bunker. I'm not sure what they teach there, but he's saved, and he was encouraged by that. He remembered us. That's amazing. 8.5 years?
Amen.
You don't think about stuff like that. You could be out passing tracks out, and 10 years later, someone comes up and says, I remember when you guys are out there. That can be an encouragement. That can sharpen you up for next time. That visitation guy, he remembered us. Moving on here, Proverbs, turn over to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. A testimony as a church can sharpen us together, but your personal testimony will make a difference as well. Your personal testimony will help sharpen you for what's to come. Your faithfulness and staying in the book, staying in church, and serving God. The Lord rewards faithfulness. Just look around. Look at what the Lord has done in some people's lives for staying faithful. You can look around. There's plenty of examples. There's plenty of examples of what he's done for people. And Philippians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Some things I want to point out there as far as a personal testimony is Jesus Christ made himself of no reputation. A good testimony is not to do something to get noticed. It's to do something for the Lord, regardless of who sees it. Because other Christians are watching, not just the lost. There are lost people watching you, but there are the Christians that are watching you. At church, there are people watching each other. There's younger Christians and older Christians, and you can be a testimony to a brother or a sister in Christ right here. And it can either have a good effect or a bad effect on someone, depending on your attitude. Jesus Christ humbled himself. You need to humble yourself to do that. You need to get low. You need to be humble. And the Bible says in verse 3 of the Philippians 2 there, fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love. That's the wrong verse. Verse 3, sorry. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. That right there is telling you that you're the lowest person in here. Everybody else is better than you. And if you walk around with that kind of an attitude, that's humbly, that's being humble, and that'll help you. You need to look at other people being better than you. I use this as a couple of football illustrations about humbleness. Mine isn't so good. Some of you might be old enough to remember Barry Sanders. He was a really good football player back in the 90s, early 2000s. And he was one of, I remember him because he was one of the most humblest players I ever watched play back when I used to watch football all the time. I was thinking about this morning, his dad and him may be Christians, I don't know, but they sure were humble. His dad may have told him one day, Barry, when you score a touchdown, don't celebrate. Just go in there, throw the ball to the ref, and go to the bench because you did your job. And that's exactly what he did his entire career, 12 or 13 years. If you ever watch a highlight show of him, the guy was amazing. He'd make people, and he'd just run around them. They just lost their mind. They couldn't catch him. He made some moves that just froze guys in their footsteps. He had that talent and that ability, but he stayed humble about it. He was one of the best to ever play the game, and he never celebrated. You watch football now, you could be losing by 30 points or make a tackle, and they think it's the best thing in the world. Dude, you're losing. What are you celebrating for? I think that's dumb. I'm like, really? First play of the game, nobody's even scored yet, and guy makes a tackle, and he nails a guy. Yay! He's doing all these dances. Whatever. You know, that's not humble. That is not humble. And that may not be the best example, but a good example of not being humble, I played high school football, and the first year I played, ninth grade, I was a freshman, of course. My coach has always told us, they told us we're not going to do any celebrating in the end zone. And I listened, I heard, and I knew that it could happen to me because I was a wide receiver. I might score a touchdown in the game. And my very first football game, we were playing over at Blake in St. Louis Park, and the starting quarterback got injured. The secondary quarterback came in, and the play was designed for me. I left, power pass left on three or whatever, you know. I was like, that's me. So all I had to do was go out to the left side lineup, and when the ball was hiked, take off as fast as I could. So it was a bomb. It was just straight down the sidelines. I flew by the guy. I caught the ball. It took forever for the ball to get to me, and I caught it, ran into the end zone, and I didn't do what Barry Sanders did. I was like, yeah. And I was running around, pointing my finger up in the air. I don't know if it was my first one or it was, I'm number one. But the coach came up to me afterwards and said, Pete, what was that all about? What'd you do that for? I was like, sorry. But that's not humble. I got excited. Sure, I got caught in the moment. Couldn't believe it happened. But you need to stay humble because a personal testimony will go a long ways. A guy at work was watching me. I didn't know he was watching me. This was years ago. And I showed up one day for work, and he comes up to me and we're loading up some more potato chips to go out. And he says, "Jeff, you don't ever cuss, do you?" I was shocked. I was like, nobody's ever asked me that. And I was like, well, sometimes I slip up, but yeah, I try not to. You know, he was noticing that I wasn't when I was around him. People will watch you. And you have to be careful about that. They watched Jesus Christ. They watched him like a hawk trying to find him doing something wrong. And when they thought he was doing something wrong, they wanted to kill him because he claimed to be God. They were watching him, waiting for him to make a mistake. And that's what the lost world will do. They'll watch you and wait for you to make a mistake. And they'll jump all over it. They don't care about you're doing your right. You'd be out there serving the Lord and doing the right thing. They don't care about that. But as soon as you slip up, they're all over it. And they'll start calling you names. They'll call you a hypocrite. You call yourself a Christian? They'll catch it. So you're being watched. And that's why you need to watch each other too, because we're all watching each other. And you don't know who's watching you. You just have to have a good testimony. A personal testimony will help sharpen you. Wow, I'm already to my final point. Turn over to, let me see here. Just turn back to Proverbs 27. Talking about here today, iron sharpeneth iron, and a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. And you think about how you should prepare your heart, right? So you're ready for what's to come. Because somebody might just come up to you and you might not even realize it. You might not see it coming, but they can maybe wanting to be an encouragement to you, do a blessing to you. And that's what this whole thing is about. It's about you doing something for the brethren and staying humble about it. Watch out for the distractions. What prevents you from being sharpened? When somebody comes up to you, are you ready to be sharpened? Maybe somebody doesn't know as much in the Bible as you do, and they can still be a blessing to you because of what they're showing you. You can learn from anybody. It's not just the leaders. It's not just people that have been in the Bible for 20 years or read their Bible 50 times. There are people who have gone through the Bible once and might say something to you, and it could help you, even though you've been in the Bible for 20 years.
Amen.
Anybody can be a help to everybody else. Remember that persecution together will help sharpen you. If you go down to the fair, nothing usually happens down there. We usually always have a blessing and we get all out of tracks. But once in a while, you might hear somebody yell something at you when you're street preaching. We went down there a couple years ago, and Brother Todd was with us, and it was kind of interesting how we chose our corners that day. And I'm kind of telling everybody where to go, what corners. You three go over here, you three go over here, and you guys stay in the middle. And there was one little spot that we don't usually stand on, and it's because it's so crowded, and the police are there, and you don't want to get in anybody's way necessarily. So what does Brother Todd do? He stands right there. He stood right there and he was preaching and nobody said a word to him. He was right, literally 5 feet from people preaching the word of God. And that was a blessing to me. I'm always trying to like give them a little space, you know, back off a little bit. They can hear you. Todd wanted to just get right up front and just go for it. And I appreciate that. Some guys like to do that. Some guys don't. I mean, sometimes you have to be right up in front of them. Down at the Holidazzle years ago, you want to clear a space. Real easy. The Holidazzle Parade used to be down there, and we'd go down there, and Brother Caribou and I got down to a spot, and you're up against the building. There's so many people on the site. Well, Brother Caribou was like, "Hey, Jeff, watch this." He starts preaching. It was like putting have you ever done the salt and pepper in the bowl of water? You put salt and pepper in a bowl of water, and you on your finger put Dawn dishwashing fluid. You put your finger on the edge of the bowl and all the pepper just kind of goes away. It's kind of neat to see. That's how the crowd was when Brother Caribou started preaching. We were up against the wall. Pretty soon we had all this space and everybody's looking back at us. But yeah, serving together helps. Your personal testimony will go a long ways. I haven't always had a good personal testimony. When I first got saved, If you would have seen me in 2007, my testimony was like dung. It was not good. You would have gone by, if I'd have drove by you guys street preaching with my Mustang GT with the stereo blasting, having the time of my life, I was saved. I'd gotten saved 3 years before I bought that thing. You wouldn't have thought I was saved. You'd have been like all those other guys that come by with their radios blasting. You'd have thought that I was like that. That guy, I mean, you don't know. Maybe some of those guys are saved. You don't know that.
Right.
You just keep preaching. I mean, the music is annoying. I probably bothered people when I had the windows down blasting. I ordered a special stereo for that car so it would play loud. Not a good testimony. But you know what prevented me from having a personal testimony? I'm just saying this here on the fly here. I wasn't in church. Something that I didn't know, like I didn't even know about Sunday school. I didn't even look at the sign on the door. 9:45, why don't I come? No, didn't even think about it. I'm coming to 11 o'clock. I liked it, I came. Somebody pointed it out to me, I'm like, really? Same thing happened for Wednesday night. I didn't have no idea, Wednesday night church? I would go to the country bar on Wednesday night. That's a blessing that changed my life there, because instead of stupid country bar, now I'm at church on Wednesday.
Amen.
What was I going with that? Oh, personal testimony. When I had lived for 5 years after I got saved without a church, without reading the Bible. That day I came in those doors for the first time, it changed my life because I'd never held the King James Bible before. I hadn't been instructed. It wasn't that I was refusing instruction. I had some Eagle Brook Christians kind of giving me some things. And I needed this place. I didn't know it. When I came here, the first thing that came to my that gave me joy was the hymns.
Amen.
I think I was sitting right around where Joanne and Josh are sitting. I loved the hymns. And I heard Pastor preach for the first time, April 5th, 2009. And then I started to grow because I started to be in church.
Amen.
It's so important to be in church because it'll help your personal testimony. And you need to be willing to receive instruction, because each time you get up in the morning, every day, it's not just on Sunday, not just on Saturdays, not just at the fair, every day of your life, at your job, in your own home, your neighbors are watching you. Your personal testimony is important. And I didn't have one until I started getting under the Bible. I'm so thankful for the Bible. And by God's grace, I kept coming to church, and one thing led to another. It took me forever because I'm a slow learner. I'm really slow. But I'm thankful. My final point here is basically reach for the peak. You're never going to get there until we get to heaven, but you need to reach for it. Years ago, Brother Darling and I and Brian and some of his family, a few people from church, I think there was a dozen people that went to Bulgaria in 2012 from church here with couriers. And I was telling Brian this morning, I still remember Phil Taylor preaching on Take It to the Next Level. And Brian and I took that very seriously that day. It was kind of a hard country. And we did a lot of mailboxes. And Brian and I were like fist pumping and just headbutting and just ready to go and go get this done today. And we said, I was like, Brian, let's do 25 boxes today. We can do it. Brian's like, how about 30? I was like, let's go 35. 40? I don't know about that one. But we got over 30 boxes out that day. I don't know if Dave remembers that because he's been on so many trips, but we got 30 some boxes out on a day where realistically 15 to 20 would have been expected. But we pushed the limit and we took it to the next level. That's what each one of us has to do each day. There's levels, like in the video games. Go to the next level. Make it addicting. Keep going.
Amen.
Okay, I got over that. Let me go to this one.
Yep. Yes.
Okay, I don't have any problem with that sin anymore. Let's beat another one. The Lord will give that to you. You need to ask the Lord to give you the strength, because He does it. He does it through you. A man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. He's going to help you. And He's helped me more than I can even imagine. Just be willing to be sharpened. You know, we have to work together. And I'm sorry that I'm going short today, but I didn't mean to. Just think about the next level that you may need to step it up. Think about maybe trying the state fair out. If a man here has never street preached before, you need to.
Amen.
You need to experience that.
Amen.
And why is Brother Jeff saying that? Because in a few moments, we're going to be gone. You may not get another chance, because when we get up there, there's no street preaching. You're all done.
Yep.
You're leaving your lost family behind you. Your lost relatives, your lost neighbors. You could go on and on and on and on. All those people at the state fair. This might be the last year we do the fair, and we might not even get to that point. You don't know. And if you've never street preached, I don't know if anybody here who hasn't, but you need to do it. You need to knock on someone's door. You need to give out tracts. We got tons of tracts. We did the parade. There's another thing. I didn't even think of that until just now, but we did a parade together. You get together and walk down a street with people looking at you, and you're giving them tracts, and they're holding out the bags. What an opportunity. If we're still here in October, we tend to do the Halloween parade in Anoka. Believe it or not, at something crazy like that, they want tracts. It's really a strange thing that we get out hundreds, maybe even 1,000 tracts in just an hour. Try that out. Please try that out. I mean, it's for the Lord. It's for the glory of God. And like I just said, in a few moments, we're not going to be here. It's that close. It could be that close. And you need to take it to the next level and keep going and never stop. Keep looking up. Keep looking up. I left a note on my boss's desk one day. And I was thinking about the Lord, but I was also thinking about how people are always looking down at their phones, because somebody's neck is going to get stuck someday. But I put a little post-it note on his desk, and I put down, look up. And I didn't know there was a camera on me. See, they're watching you. The next day in work, he goes, Jeff, what do you mean by look up? I'm like, what? How'd you know it was me? See that little teeny dot in the corner over there? It's about as small as that hook. He looked on the camera to see who it was. He had time to go back and see who did that. They're watching you. They're watching you. But you need to take it to the next level. And just remember to think on all these things. You know, prepare your heart. Think about what prevents you from getting sharpened. It's okay. Experience some persecution for the Lord. It's going to come out good in the end, because you're giving that person an opportunity. I was on the... You're just giving them an opportunity. If they say no, you still gave them an opportunity. If they don't want a track, they had a chance. Pray for them to get another chance. That lady that was going nuts with us down at the Saints game, of all those people that walked by us, she's probably... I don't remember which guy said it, but she's probably the most likely one down there to get saved, because she's so convicted over it. There are people that go by and think they're just fine and they don't need it. Those people are harder to reach because they think they have everything, you know, and riches and all that stuff. That lady is probably convicted. She's out there yelling, and it was just interesting to see how mad somebody could get. All Josh was preaching was Jesus saves.
Amen.
He's the only one that can save you. He kept saying it over and over again, and she just kept yelling at him. So think about all that and keep a personal testimony. A personal testimony goes a long ways, and as a church too. We can go down to the state fair and have a really good testimony with the world. They remember us. The police officers remember us every year. They know that we're not that other church. You know, that's true. They know that we are out there preaching the gospel. Let me add this here. That night when we went down to the Saints game, just a little help here. If you go down and you guys get together and you want to go street preaching, it doesn't have to always be on Saturday. You can go out whenever. Go with a couple of guys. Two is best, because you have a witness there with you and you have a bodyguard. But when you go out there, oh, where was I going there? My mind is just, sorry about that. Forgot I was going to say. My bad. Anyway, yeah, personal testimony. If you go out there and you just pick a day and go, you know, They'll remember you. And, oh, that cop down at the Saints game. I walked up to the cop before we even started, and I told him what we were there for. And I said, this is how long we're going to be here. And he says, you're good. You're cool. That's a whole lot better, I think. I've learned that instead of just going down there and belting it out, because that cop is not going to be surprised when he starts hearing you preaching. He's going to expect it. And he's on your side. He was on our side. He was a really nice guy. He got rid of that lady. And it's okay to be friends with the cops, because if you get them on your side, that goes a long ways there. So that's a good testimony as a church, because he's like, oh, I remember those guys. They actually didn't cause any problems. It was that lady that caused the problem. It's a testimony against that lady, actually. So I appreciate you listening to me here. I thought it would have gone a little longer. But just encourage each other and reach for that peak and think about all these things that I've mentioned here today. And I hope it was a blessing to each one of you. I'm not going to take questions, Brother Chris. You can talk to me later. But thank you, everybody. That's it for Sunday school. You can take a little bit more of a break than usual.